I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Do you know what your partner's up to when you're away and they're all alone?
No. What?
They're listening to the Screw Podcast, of course.
What's that?
Sit back, relax, and listen.
And you're an orgasm addict. You're an orgasm addict. Sneaking in the back door with daddy magazines. So your mother wants to know what all the stains on your jeans. And you're an orgasm addict.
Hi, y'all. Thanks for tuning in.
Oh, my goodness. That's beautiful.
Fantastic than I think I had expected you to be, but I love it. Tell me more.
Thanks for tuning into The Screw with Alicia Rose and Ayla.
What's up?
Hi, Ayla.
Oh, my God. It's so good to hear from you and hear you.
Oh, my God. It's been so long. We weren't just speaking for the last hour.
I know. You know, I wonder if, like, other, like, podcasting couples such as ourselves go through the stress of, like, okay, we're talking. Oh, man, we really should have hit fucking record like 45 minutes ago.
No, I don't think we should have on that combo. That's true. So not this time.
No, you're right.
So it's the new year, new us.
Yeah, happy new year.
Happy fucking new
happy
year.
Happy fucking new year.
And by new us, I mean absolutely nothing by that. But I am curious, right off the gate, do you have a resolution for this year? I fucking hate New Year's resolutions.
You know,
but do you have one?
I think, like, for me, it's always like the resolution is always to make sure I learned something or paid attention, like, you know, re-divert, like, myself in a way that I won't make a mistake again. So, like, you know, not that we can resolution to make no more mistakes, but, like, I think, like, I say, okay, what didn't work? What didn't work for me in 2023? And what part did I play in that thing not working? And is that something like I can change on my end? I can, like, you know, reevaluate and, like, make sure it doesn't happen again. You know, and I think, you know, I mean, I've spent a lot of my life now trying to do that. Like, you know, like, I hate X. So I don't want X to ever happen to me again. What can I do to stop X from ever happening again? Because X really fucking sucks. And I won't say that there was a lot of X's in 2023. Like, look, we in times where, like, I will say, so, like, most of my resolutions, if I'm going to have them, I like to have, like, be done with them before the next year. So, like, I was, like, flirting with the smoking of the nicotine up and down through 2023. Because, you know, it's an old friend, not really. A frenemy. That's what nicotine is. It's a frenemy. The bitch, like, makes you think, you know you need me right now. You know you want me right now. Just take a little bit of a taste. And, like, before you know it, like, 4 weeks have gone by and you spent, like, $4 million on something, like, that is killing you. So, like, you know, I canceled all those bad frenemy relationships before the end of the year. So I felt really good about that.
Nice.
And, you know, like, I'm trying to live forever here. So, like, I will, like, I hit the gym and, you know, because I utilize my school's gym, I haven't gotten to use it during, like, the hardcore Christmas closure of the break or whatever holiday closure where they, like, you know, it's, like, basically from, like, the 2 days before Christmas until, like, the day after New Year's. So everything's opening up back in. So, like, I mean, I guess the resolution will be to make sure, like, I get my ass back to the gym as well. That was a long-winded answer, but, you know, this weed, shout out to my stepfather, sent from fucking, from Vermont.
Hell yeah.
Like, bless your heart. Like, it came at the right time. It's been delicious. It's very well, like, all, like, organic-y and, like, that Vermont cow dung fucking marijuana. It's, like, absolutely... What about you, my love? Any resolutions on your end?
I don't like to make official resolutions because I feel like we should just constantly be in a state of wanting to change for the better, whatever that fucking change might be. But I will say that in 2022, I got rid of my tobacco and nicotine addiction with the blunt thing, right? And I quit Adderall. In 2023, I cut back significantly on drinking. And I cut back, and most of the drinking was just to fall asleep, let's be honest here. And I also cut back a significant amount on weed in general, which was a big one for me. So I know that getting rid of the blunts helped a ton with the whole, like, needing to smoke all day. So I stopped needing to smoke all day. But also, along with all of that, I just... Like, I'll go, like, a week now without smoking at all. I'll go 2 weeks without smoking at all. That was unheard of for me in the past. Like, as you know, we would travel together. And if, say, it was a plane or something, the first thing that we needed to do was locate marijuana. And I had a really unhealthy relationship with it. It wasn't making me high anymore. It was just a thing I did all day long. And so now I spend hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars less on weed. And also, it's not a crutch that I need. Like, I don't freak out anymore if I don't know if I'm going to be able to get high. You know, like, if I have to travel somewhere and I don't have weed at that place, it's just whatever, right? I eventually maybe want some, especially if I'm, like, in a relaxed situation. Like, if I'm on vacation, it would be nice to be able to get high a little bit here and there. But it's just a completely different relationship with it. And I don't, you know, like, last night I smoked with my roommate a few blunts, which was the most I had smoked in weeks. So I got fucking baked potato. It did the job it's supposed to actually do, you know? So, like, now, yeah. Like, we watched some new series or something. I can't remember, but we watched some shit. Well, we also hadn't seen each other in a bit. So we, like, caught up, smoked some weed, watched some shit, and it was enjoyable, you know? Like, now if I have a bellyache and I smoke, it helps my bellyache. Like, things that weed is supposed to be there for, I actually utilize. So I digress. The point was, I got rid of a lot of my vices last year. However, in exchange for those vices, I also started binge eating a lot more. So Adderall was a big helpful thing. I was prescribed it for my whole life. Not my whole life, in my 20s to my 30s. And then I didn't have health insurance for a bit, as you know. And just, there were moments where I was just taking it for my ADHD. And then there were moments where I was trying to curb my appetite. I'm not going to lie about that. I have a very fucking big appetite at all times. I wake up hungry. I wake up at 2 a.m. hungry. I wake up at 8 a.m. hungry. I want to eat at 9 a.m. I want to eat at 10 a.m. I'm basically the perfect candidate for, like, an actual binge eating disorder drug, like a Vyvanse, for example. But with me not liking going to the doctors often, and, like, there's so much red tape to get drugs in New York City these days, like any kind of medicines. So basically, I gained a ton of fucking weight because I don't have an appetite suppressant anymore. And even though I will not say that I was, you know, the times where I was taking Adderall for my appetite was not correct, that I should not have been doing that. At the same time, like, I need to basically get a hold of that. So my New Year's resolution is to have a better relationship with food, to get a dietitian or a nutritionist through my health insurance, which I finally got my health insurance reinstated. I'm on, like, a little bit better of a plan. So the goal is to basically, like, get my money right and get my health right. I need to stop using food as just, like, a way to, like, oh, I'm bored, I'm going to go eat. You know, it's like, it's bad because it's either I have no food in my house at all, or I have, like, stuffed to the gills cabinets, and I have full access to all of it. So it's like, it's just it's a bad relationship in general. So that's what I'm trying to do right now. It's my goal, is to just walk away from this year feeling like I can trust myself around food. I'm not worried about ordering the wrong thing if I go somewhere with a friend, or I'm not worried about, you know, needing, yeah, just constantly eating. Like, that's a big thing for me, is like, there's never down, like, there's always food in my face. And it's just, I need to chill on that, because, you know, I'm not at the heaviest I've ever been, but I'm also getting close to it. And so I'm trying to up my activity. And, but I'm also not, I do not want to weigh myself. Like, I want to have an actual good, healthy relationship with my body in general. I want to be able to reach down and be like, this feels good. Like that, oh, it feels like I'm losing a little bit of my belly. Okay, that feels nice. I don't want to step on the scale every week and like Jenny Craig my life away, which, as you know, I worked there when I was 19, and that taught me even worse habits about food, you know? So it's like, I have a lot of like these, you know, I have a balance issue with that I need to definitely take care of. And I don't want to necessarily, like, I don't want to be on Ozempic. I don't want that. I want to heal my relationship with food and not just put a Band-Aid on it that could have serious consequences. Because a lot of people that were put on Ozempic now, you know, they can't get off of it. They're having like, I don't know what organs are like failing them, but like there's a lot of different like drugs that have really bad side effects potentially. And I don't want that. I just want to be able to be like, yeah, I'm not actually hungry, you know, that's boredom.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so much of that, like, you know, like, and I wouldn't say I struggle with that too much, but like, I definitely had to learn, you know, a few years ago, like the best way to like strategize, like eating food. And like, honestly, let's be real. There's like a economics dynamic to this. Like when we are like doing well and whatever, like we're tend to be on like a better schedule. We tend to be on like doing things that aren't just like us sitting around mm-hmm. waiting for the phone to ring kind of shit. Like, you know, like, and like all of those kind of things, you know. And what I'm always reminded of, and I was kind of like at my busiest, I did learn how to manage myself, my time, my whatever. Right. Because you also need the fuel, right? Like you need mm-hmm. food. Your brain needs food. Your body needs it. And like you need to have this relationship with it that it's like, this is a good relationship, like one that like, you know, when you're feeling drained and you eat,
right,
it is like to be refueled.
I'm also like working, you know, on getting better at like the whole glucose spike thing. Like I'm really following the idea that like start with vegetables. You know, you're not going to have those cravings and those crashes as much if you just eat your broccoli before you eat your starch and your meat, or before you eat your other shit. So like and nowadays I literally wake up and I make vegetables for breakfast. I make a huge bowl of vegetables. I put some honey Dijon mustard in it or something like that. And then I have the protein on the side, but I eat my fucking veggies first. Like I eat dinner for breakfast and it's actually helping. Like I find my cravings to be a lot less. So not to make this about health and eating and all that, but
no, but
I do think, you know, I was a fat kid. I am a fat adult again. And I have a weird relationship with different aspects of that, because as much as I'm healed in some ways, I can still hear, you know, my mom saying something rotten to me in my head. And I'm like, ah, fuck, like that. You know, like I was visiting home recently and my mom was like, you're going to eat all of that? And I was like, I looked up at her and my mom has gotten better in a lot of ways about a lot of stuff. Okay. But that comment, I go, Mom, really? Did you just food shame me? It's 2023, bitch. We all have TikTok. Like, let's not do this. You know, like we all know not to do that, right? And she apologized profusely. And she's like, that's still my own stuff. I was like, it is your own stuff. But I am 30, at the time, I'm 35 years old. You know, like you can't talk to me like that. That's inappropriate. Right. And you know what? Sometimes I do want the whole plate of the food, and that's okay too. Like I can have a healthy relationship with food while also honoring cravings and hunger, you know? Right. So anyways, my point being that like this year, I just want to get healthy. I want to like go to the doctor as much as I'm supposed to, go to the dentist, maybe get like a couple of my broken teeth fixed if possible. I know my insurance isn't going to allow for a lot of that, but.
Well, they should take care of things like that. They're just not going to like give you like a fancy implant. You're going
to
a veneer or something.
I'm not worried about my missing teeth. I'm more worried about what teeth I have and like retaining them and like keeping those ones in my face still, because what's gone is gone already. Like
I'm taking a bag and I'm fixing it all.
Yeah, well that's the other thing is, I mean, let's be honest, if I really 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 was smart, I would take $10,000 and get my air sculpt BBL, and I would pay it all off really quick by shaking my ass on the internet, because it's like the only thing that makes money anymore. I swear to God.
Oh, I love it.
Well, like, I mean, I'm a titty girl living in a butt world, and it's not, you know. But also, like, I don't want to do this job forever either. So.
You know, and that's the thing.
It's not really an investment I would want to make currently.
You know, resolutions, look, like, I think it's always good to do an evaluation of your life at a regular interval. You know, like you read all the psychology, New Year's resolutions over the years, and like the pros and the cons. And like, I swear I've read a million things in both directions. But like, more importantly, you know, the wisest advice I've ever been given is to like go through your life, evaluate like your experiences, like your most recent experiences, your most recent behaviors, your most recent relationships with drugs, alcohol, people, sex, and say, are these things, are they good for me? Am I having a good, decent, healthy relationship with them? Because look, I'm always going to say, I think you can have a healthy relationship with all of those things. I even think if you're one of those fucking unicorns that can smoke a fucking cigarette once a year, I fucking hate you, but like beautiful. You know what I mean? And it's also, you know, I mean, that's a joke, but it's also recognizing like literally what role and like of harmfulness these things play in your life personally, not anybody else's. Fuck that. Like, I mean, you know, and I think.
It's so true. The same thing that could trigger me into hopping back on fucking Adderall might be something that you can do 3 days a week, and it's a non-issue, right? Like, it's everybody's different. Everybody's relationship to addiction is different. Everybody's, you know, frontal
your base chemicals,
cortex or whatever the fuck piece of your brain creates addiction. Like, everybody's different. It truly is.
I've always said this. I still stand by it. Like, I am, like, pretty like hyperactive in terms of like I like to do stuff, I like to be doing stuff or thinking about stuff. I'm not good for long periods of time like sitting, you know, and unless I smoke a joint of some like nice hybridy shit,
because sativa
won't do it. I will still like fucking go around like a maniac, but like a nice like hybrid, I will like at least take it down a couple of notches for my own relaxation. I'm only doing this shit to relax. I'm not doing this shit to fucking save my life, you know? Like, so, you know, like, figuring out the roles these things, like, play, I do think are important. Like, look, everybody knows they could be healthier. Everybody knows they could cut their caffeine down, their sugar down, their salt down, their fucking whatever down. Like, we know that. But the point is to, like, not have it be an overwhelming thing. This shit's a long game. Like, if your primary interest remains to be your happiness, your pleasure, your health, those things are all connected. So, like... Absolutely.
And honestly, no, like, get professionals involved if possible, because... there's no one size fits all approach. Learned recently that like sugar-free things, for example, trigger some people's insulin in a different way than real sugar. You know, some people have to actually have real sugar and not sugar-free because of the chemical and what it does to their body. Well, these are all things that, like, you would just assume, no, sugar-free is the better option. No, not for some, actually. So it's important to know what your body look like, what it needs, as opposed to what
look
the
at this. Like, you
what the trend is,
your,
or what you saw on TikTok, or, you know, what somebody told you. It's like,
I'll give. Your body has, like, a base chemical signature, and there are levels for the human species that let you know that you're in a healthy space. But if you don't at your level baseline, you don't know if you're in a healthy space. People, there are some people who can eat certain kind of cholesterols till fucking cows come home, and their cholesterol doesn't up a tick. You know, and that could be a variety of reasons. And that could be, you know. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Like,
the same way people
are
like, oh my God, how do you not have
but
diabetes the way you
for
eat?
The species
and it's like, that doesn't run in my family. Like,
there are
that's not
zones.
A thing
so
for
if you
us,
do
you know,
at the
or vice versa,
health,
or whatever it is.
Go get a metabolic panel. Go get, like, you know, the minimum information about, like, your cholesterol, your sugar. Get it done. If you haven't, if you don't know what I'm talking about, it's time to get it done. You know, and, like, honestly, and this is the sad part, because these things are so helpful and, like, we understand a lot about how they influence and determine your health from, like, creatine levels to, you know, your, you know, triglycerides in your cholesterol. And a lot of how health is taken care of is like a game of mathematics with, like, your personal levels. So, you know, I don't recommend trying to adjust those levels on their own, but, like, any actual practitioner will tell you, if you get these levels done and you understand what your personal habits are with exercise and food, this is an easy game. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to go on cholesterol and blood pressure medication and, like, you know, start checking your blood sugar. It means you now know what your baseline is, and now you have a game to play with the math of your own body. So play that game. See if you can plus or minus that by whatever shakes it takes to make your liver level better or your, you know, cholesterol go down. You know, like, I know it's a shitty thing, and nobody likes news, especially when we get into our 30s and 40s, that says, you know, you may have to stop for a while or stop completely a particular thing. Like, that's not going to feel good. It doesn't feel good to be told you can't drink anymore. You can't, you know, eat a fucking chocolate cake anymore.
Like, sure.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But it also doesn't feel good to hear you have to have a body part amputated, or you have a shorter life because of XYZ, or you might need an organ transplant. So I have been avoiding the doctors forever. I went once 2 years ago and didn't follow up on anything I was supposed to. I did a couple dentist office visits in that time as well, got some teeth pulled. But I haven't done any follow-up on anything, let's be honest. I have not given one flying sack of shit about anything, because, you know, when you are so broken poor, your next paycheck, I don't get paychecks, but my next transaction is all I'm focused on. I'm not focused on, I cannot fathom taking time out of my day to even have the brain capacity to care about my health, right? But at the end of it, it's going to be even more expensive down the road if I don't at least, like you said, get a baseline. See where I'm at. Right. Yes, I'm overweight. There's heart disease in my family. I also cut down on drinking. I also cut down on tobacco. I got rid of tobacco. I got rid of this. I got rid of that. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, these are all helpful steps in the right direction.
It's good.
But I also need to know, like, how close am I to needing to be on, you know, cholesterol meds, shit like that. Anyways, this is like one of those boring talks, but I think queer health, I think a lot of times people in queer communities or in you know, people in, like, my class, if you will, as far as, like, finances go, like, we don't think about that stuff yeah. until it is thrown in our face, until we have that moment where, because a lot of us like to avoid the doctors in general. You know, if you're overweight, you hate going to the doctors because they tell you everything that's wrong with you is because you're fucking fat, right? If you are queer yeah. and you go to a health doctor, you have to answer all these invasive questions. There's all this stuff that goes along with not wanting to show up at the doctors. So hopefully we can kind of inspire some people to, you know, do the hard thing. And the hard thing is just showing up. Once you get there and you get the, it's better to know than to not know. We've always said that. Mm-hmm.
Well, and let me tell you something, going off of what you said, like, I think this is really important, and it's really, really, really important in this particular way. People experience a lot of right. shame around healthcare. We've talked about this in terms of STIs and stuff before, and, like, you know, not taking care of other parts of, like, them. You're right. It is a very shaming experience. I mean, like, not you specifically, but whoever's thinking this, you are right. It feels that way. But I'm here to tell you, like, and this isn't just in a conspiratorial manner, like, the game is literally rigged against you and your health and your well-being. And it's rigged even more once you lose the ability to, like, participate in certain things of society because of that health. So when you go, you should feel entitled to something that everybody is entitled and deserves. And that is, like, a right to good health and right. a right to all the things available to you to continue feeling well. And, like, that's not, like, a subjective opinion from a progressive person. That is something that, like, the UN, the World Health Organization, and many other, like, huge organizations and societies of people have deemed to be true. Whether or not we follow that in the United States is a whole nother story. Right. Not getting into the politics, but for you as an individual, it is proven that right. socioeconomics prevent you from taking care of yourself. And there are ways of which we, like, can dissect that throughout, like, being working a job that doesn't give you time off, but is only work hours or during the hours that the doctor's office is only open during. So when you pull out a few examples like that, you tell me it's, like, not rigged in a position for you not to succeed. So, you know, if you go into with the attitude of that, because we, like, I know it's hard. It's hard to go. It's scary to go. But, like, it's even scarier to not know. Mm-hmm. And it's even scarier to let them win. So let's play this game. That if you haven't been for a while, it's a simple call. Nowadays,
and a lot of pharmacies will do those blood panels too for you for free. There's a lot of, there are more resources than you think. There are a lot of clinics that take care of that kind of stuff for free, or for like a small copay or something like that. Like, check the resources before you assume. I run into a lot of people assuming, and I used to do the same. I'd be like,
I don't know what's wrong with me. I haven't felt good for a while. Gonna do this for me,
and it's like, no, there's more resources out there. And absolutely. Once in a while, you get to pay absolutely. Out of pocket for something, but a lot of the times you can get
there are.
You know, it's not the same thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Right.
If you ever ask them, if somebody ever asks you for a payment as you're going out, sell them to send the bill to your house. Don't sweat it. Like, send the bill to my house. Like, if they're a place that requires payment, they should be, like, establishing that with you up front, not after care. So don't panic. Once you win the door, you win the door. Get that shit taken care of. Like, look, I'm saying the mm-hmm. tips of the trade on this, because, like, the only thing worse than fucking being broke is being sick and broke. And like, let me tell you, you don't want
to. I was going to say that you deserve to be as healthy as your body is allowing you to be. You know, obviously, it's not easy for a lot of people. Like, let's not sound ableist here. There are a lot of people that can just get up and fucking go to the doctor. This is, there are sometimes, you know, things a way of being able to access these resources. And I understand that too. But that's why, like, let your state do whatever it offers in order to get your foot in the door, if you will, like in order to get you into that facility, whatever that facility might be. There are resources out there for lot of different things, and you may not know that. So it's something to, it's always worth it to check in on. And, you know, Aaron Absolutely. And I are always here to help. You know, if we can help you do research or something, like, just reach out to us, because sometimes it's hard to, like, there's plenty of things Aaron taught me that I had no clue was a resource that I had at my disposal. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Right.
And shit, like, and I'm just learning. Like, it's been a long time since I've been in a place that had such,
I mean, like, every 5 feet, there's a fucking place that you go.
And it's hard to access healthcare services here. Because there's not enough people to provide services that everybody needs, which is like a very confusingly difficult, like, thing, you know. I know, but like in New York, we're like, oh, you know, it's so busy,
right,
so
they're crazy, like, what do you mean you can't just walk in and get seen for free?
You likely don't have to wait 3 months to get an appointment for something. Here you do. So like, I'm like trying, you know, there's wherever you're listening, and like, we got a lot of people that don't listen from here. They're probably like, see that fucking US healthcare system. I know. It's really, and it is frustrating. And like, everybody knows, you know, everybody knows it's, but doesn't know, you know. But like, you know, I like that we went here, because talking about like the resolutions is like, it's really, what are we saying with New Year's resolutions? We want health, whether it's emotional, physical, for those of you who are into it, spiritual. And, you know, like, what I'm only laughing because like, I always struggle with the word spiritual. Like, I like to think it means like in a very like agnostic-y kind of like way about taking care of like those soft.
No, actually, that's funny that you say that, because in one of my other
not just like the emotion, like, we need good mental health.
I need to stop being taken advantage of this year.
You know, good mental health is one thing.
A big piece of that is that I am a deflector and a compartmentalizer. So what happens is, in order to not face what I have in front of me, I'll take on other people's problems. I'll be their ear. I'll be their emotional support. I'll suggest things. I let them trauma dump, whatever. And then I don't stop and do a self-check on the same things for myself. And I take up a lot of my own time with other people's stuff. And so this year I'm putting my foot down with a lot of that. I do not want to hear from anybody first thing in the morning, unless it's a work thing. I do not want to, you know, or unless you're saying you're checking in on me, that's great, wonderful. But like, the constant onslaught of being an open 24/7 service, I thought about it. I was like, if I were back at a 9-to-5, you know, corporate position, for example, from eight when I get on the subway until 6 when I get home, I wouldn't have been available. I used to never be available when I was working my old corporate position. I was able once a day to check my text messages during my lunch break really quick. I would check to see, like, you know, say you were like, hey, pick up something on the way home or whatever. But there was never a time when my phone was in my hand. I know that a lot of people have different jobs and maybe they can look at their phone more. But I'm trying to realize how
right,
much I allow people to take from me during my day when my work day is the same schedule. I don't like to work past 7 or 8 p.m. unless I'm doing like a filming situation or going live at night or something, which is rare. So for me to like give my day, even though that's my work day, to other people, none of that anymore. If you are not available during a 9-to-5, why am I available during, you know? And I know I have a lot of friends that don't work a standard 9-to-5 job, right, and that allows them to then hit me up during the day and all that. No, that's codependency. Sure, I'm not saying I'm not gonna help my friends, but I can't.
But here's the thing:
I'm not a 24/7 fucking
this comes up
open.
A lot in the world.
Even your therapist,
trauma dumping, all those
kind of
things.
Like, I am not here to just be a suckle of.
I don't
want to
be like a harsh
bitch.
Like,
I can't do that.
Sure, we help.
And I find that because I give a lot of myself to people, they oftentimes put me in that place.
Right. But there's a difference.
Other people get the fun. Get fun. Version of that person, but Felicia gets the serious only. I don't get to, you know, we don't party together, but you trauma dump on me daily. Like, that, I'm done with that. And yeah. I already got rid of friends in the past like that. And unfortunately, because of the way that my personality works, I take on more friends like that over time. And I'm like, this needs to not just be my norm. I need to put my foot down and set boundaries. And I need to get better at doing that because there's a lot of people I have no problem setting. You, for example, I have no problem setting boundaries for you if I need to, which you and I work well together. We pretty much know when the other person needs time or whatever. But if you don't, because we haven't updated each other, for example, I have no problem being like, I cannot do the podcast today. Right. Okay. Whereas with other people, I might just, okay, yeah, I'll do the thing. Like, it's okay to say no is a complete sentence.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And boundary, so I know we talked about this right, like on one of the last podcasts we were talking about this like idea and definition of consent, right? Like this is a prime example. Like, you cannot consent to like taking on the burden of other people's like stuff. Like look, like, you know, I'm Mr. Social.
You have to put your mask on first.
We all have to.
You have to put your oxygen mask on first before you can help others with theirs. And if that means not talking
to
anybody for 24 hours,
48
hours,
for us to be able to take care of our own,
it doesn't matter.
In order to be there in multiple capacities. And I don't mean be there. Exactly. There you go. You are always allowed to take whatever space you need as a person for anything. If anybody is telling you different, they are trying to
on
you. Because look, real friends understand when somebody says, hey, I'm at my max for today.
Oh my God, now I'm going to cough for like an hour.
I'm at my max. Like, you as a friend, see, you just had to suck it slow, baby. Suck it slow and it'll eventually come through.
Oh my God. I bought a vape months ago.
Damn,
and
those
tits
are on fire.
It's always clogging. It's working. Aaron gave me some tips today and I finally took a little hit of it,
I'm loving it. your screen is one big vape cloud. It's beautiful. I know. Yay! That's perfect. Gotta be an asshole. Like, look, I know people have shit, and like we all understand that. But like, friendship is something. That, like, no, I don't think there's a scarcity of friendship. I think there's a scarcity of quality friendships in the sense that people that you can be real with, that like you can put down
boundaries. You also have to realize you can't like you can't ask somebody to be there for you every single day when your every day is bad. I'm sorry, if your every day is bad, you need to do something about it. We need to fix that. And putting that on somebody else is not the solution. Like none of us are paid fucking therapists. Like I don't even know how to help you at that point. If your every day is bad, there needs to be a bigger picture looked at. And it can't just be, I'm going to go to Felicia and every single day make her feel, because I internalize your, if you come to me and you're having a bad day, I cry for my friends. I feel emotional for my friends. I feel like I hurt for that, you know? And so because of that, it can't be an everyday thing. There can't, and especially when, where does my shit go, right?
Sure.
True.
Well, and that's kind of the thing. The kind of more like empathy you do feel as a person, the more like difficult some of these things, like, you know, are. And I mean empathy. I mean, like, yeah, you know. Yes. Especially yes. If you have like any politic in the world, it's hard to listen to somebody like struggle, but like it's also difficult to like find yourself crumbling under somebody else's struggle. And like, you know, and there are people that do that there, you know, that's just like, sorry to throw out all the site, but like self-care is about recognizing like this ship that you're driving, if you're not driving it well, it's falling apart.
Right.
And like a falling apart ship can't tow anybody else. And I'm not saying you should, but like, that's the relationship that we need to have with each other. We need to understand that.
Or they need a break. Like,
maybe somebody does have more capacity to be there and help me, but maybe on occasion they need like me to reciprocate, or hate to add like the reciprocation thing, or to give me a moment to catch my footing so then I can help you. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't have expectations of people like that. Like, we're all human. Like, energy may vary, you know?
That's
and like,
true.
And I think it's tough sometimes for people to understand that, like, not all people constantly need somebody else to share their stuff. And that, like, while you may think that they're in a good space and they say, hey, like, look, I'm not, but you don't see that there ever anything wrong with them. Like, so why can't they hear you out? Like, not everybody needs that process, but sometimes they need a process.
Well, and some people don't. And if they're putting I'm down the kind that of boundary, person that I have a couple.
Why
like,
you see them
certain
not
things I'll share with certain friends, and other things I won't share with those same friends, and then other things I don't share with anybody. And you know, that's okay. It's everybody's different when it comes to sharing what's going on with them, but you can't just assume people are fine just because they're not coming to you to vent about stuff. I'm a self-soother for a lot of stuff. When something is maddening to me, I'm a quick vent and then a self-soother. When something's upsetting me, I'm a put it out in the ether, whether I post it online or I send my friends an update, like some of my closest friends, but I don't want to vent about it. I don't want to get it out real quick, maybe a quick vent, but then I move on because otherwise I cannot handle that thing. You know, like people always want to bring up my lawsuit to me. I don't want to talk about it. I do not want to talk about it unless people want to randomly bring up the death of my animals. I do not want to talk about it unless I bring up that moment. Yeah. And so therefore I think that a lot of people don't understand that, like, I can be in a bad place and not come off as such because I stay positive for my own sanity. I will lose myself to my PMDD, my depression, my anxiety, if I don't remain positive. Yeah. Yes, things are bad for me right now. They have been bad for me for a little bit, but you're going to hear a lot more positive come from me than negative because that's how I personally handle it. I'm not saying you need to handle it by becoming a positive person. I'm saying that's how I deal with it. So just because you see me in a positive way or doing things happy-go-lucky, I might be fucking dying inside. That's not for you to determine that then I am open for your 24-hour needs. correct?
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, look, like, relationships are nuanced.
True.
Like, people are nuanced. Like, you, there's no, like, fit for how things look. You may have, like, requirements of what you need.
And find people that meet those requirements.
To spend time. Good. Like, good. And you should stick with that. And you should find people that are absolutely. I'm not judging it because, like I said, everybody has a different capacity. But, like, I do think, you know, there are enough times that people find themselves in, like, unreciprocated, like, you know, relationships that eventually one has to say, well, where is my capacity and my compassion for myself to put myself, you know, in audience with people
that's
like,
a big point. Know, yeah. I think like, one thing, you know, for me is I just never was honest with a, like, lot of people about how much of myself I can give or how much of my, like, I will respond to texts when I'm not ready to respond to texts. I will offer my advice when I don't actually want to give advice, or I'll offer my ear when I don't actually have the physical or emotional mental capacity for it at that moment. I'll still be like, okay, well, what else am I gonna do? Tell my friend to fuck off and then what, right? Then what is not your problem? You do not need to worry about what happened, unless your friend sends an SOS, I'm in distress and I want to KMS, essentially, which obviously is a different situation. But if your friend is just having a moment and you can't hold space for that, it's okay. And that's what I need to learn. And I need to learn to be honest with people up front and be like, listen, sometimes I give a little bit too much of myself in exchange for not enough for myself in the long run. And then what happens is I distance myself entirely. So let's ease into this and let's not use me as a constant sounding board, because I can't handle that. That's why my red receipts are on, because I cannot open your fucking messages every single day, all day long. But there's still people that I do that with, and I have to be more honest with them and myself about what it is I can handle. And that is my resolution, is to find a balance where I can be there for my friends that need a little bit extra attention while also not sacrificing 85% of myself to that thing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a balance, you know, and, like, you know, and I think it's a balance that more people, you know, need to, like, talk about. Like, I've worked with some of the most amazing, like, activists, friends over the years, and watched how little they take care of themselves. And, like, you know, so whether you're that, like, down on the spectrum, or whether you're just, like, an average everyday person trying to, like, navigate adult friendships or whatever, it's the answer is the same. Like, you have to be, it's like what we just talked about, like, taking inventory. People have to be part of that inventory, like, you know. And I'm not saying, like, oh, you know, go through and, like, create a chop list. I'm saying you need to, like recognize it on a simple scale. How does this person make you feel? Do you feel excited when you hear from them? Do you feel when you hear from them? Like, and then what role does that person play in your life? Like, look, like, we all shady bitches. Perhaps, like, you have a network that you need, or a contact that you need, professionally, social, or otherwise, whatever. No judgment. Like, we all hustling in today's world one way or another.
Right.
But, like, at the same time, like, is this person's, like, whatever in your life outweigh, like, the negative space? Because these things do add up. It's not like a... Like a
I remember
thing. Our psyche. Our
I'm sure you this brain, reminded me what you just said reminded me of shitty energy, you know, when you're like, who was that person in your life, and, like, do you need to, like, essentially keep this situation? I had an old boss that, like, I was on call 24/7 for this boss, as far as emotionally. I helped them get sober. I helped them with so much stuff, and at the expense of I wasn't there for myself at all. I had amazing insurance and I never went to the doctor. I was not available for myself. And it was because they expected my time whenever they needed my time. And yeah. I gave it to them, even though what was that? Why should I have done that? Right. So it's one of those examples of like, okay, I wanted to stick with my job and do a good job and blah, blah, blah. So in exchange for, I lost myself entirely, you know? Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, relationships should not feel like a hostage situation, you know? I don't try to be that way with, like, relationships too often. But, like, you know, when you, like, find yourself and people, like, you know, that are only hanging out with you when the times be good, you know, and never, like, hang out with you when the times be bad, or, like, the only time they call you is to, like, deride you or whatever, or, like, make you feel that, you know, trying to make you feel a certain way. Like, you come up to question in your head, like, what is this about? You know, like, you know, and I know it's stupid, but like, or not stupid, but like, you know, we don't often think about like the quality of our interactions with people. Like, because like we're caught up in whatever, and like most of the time we're just happy to be whatever. But like, you know, when you go and you listen and you like start evaluating these things and realize, this person's never asked me anything about myself. This person doesn't know anything about me. This person doesn't express like a care in anything else going on in my
life. That doesn't sound like a friend. Sounds like somebody that's using you.
Jeez, you know, like, right. Like, what is that about? You know, and like, I know a few years ago in Pittsburgh is the last person like I thought like deliberately like, I need to like stop the relationship with this individual because like they're just taking away my energy. Like, hey, I'm all for helping people. I help when I can. I help when I have resources. I help like in any way I have the capacity for. Like, but like there's sometimes where it's like every time you turn around and like you're helping somebody and they're not acknowledging the help, or they're not like, there's no mutual response to it. Like, these are not good friendships or relationships. Like, these are things that like have been like one way. My partner, I was like, somebody found their pendejo.
Oh, that's you funny.
Know? Like, I mean, never before has like a truer thing. It's like sometimes you realize like, wow, you know, and I give people the benefit of the doubt for a million years, like, and like I actually don't even mind that. Like, you can text me, and if I can help you, I'll help you, and if I can't, I will tell you I can't. Like, I don't lose sleep over it. I can't, you know, it doesn't work that way. You know, there's only so much I can do, and recognizing what our limitations are is kind of part of that maturing process in life. Like, I hate to break it to you, like, being able to not say I can do everything when I can't, it's like, it's a hard thing. It's a life lesson, but nobody can. And like those that can are usually
well, and I think that that's a piece of it, is that like my love language is helping people with whatever I can. And like, if I can only help you emotionally, well, that's, I'm going to do that. And, but again, I have to be honest with myself because I don't have 365 days of that. I don't have that in me, and I can't have that. I do not speak to anybody every single day. Like, that's not a thing I do. So why am I allowing that to be a part of my life in general? I have multiple people that reach out to me every single day. What? And it blows my mind because I do not, to me, you know me, I spent a month alone this year, or last year. I like to be alone in silence, in my own thoughts. So I have to remember that it's okay to give myself space from everything. It's okay to say no. That's a complete sentence. And it's also okay not to respond to people. It's okay to just leave them there. Unless, again, it's an emergency. I it's okay to walk away for a little bit, right? So
I mean, like, we always say that old adage, like, time is money, right? And like, you know, you hear it usually being used by like fat cat rich kind of people. I don't think people realize how much more like
it truly is, right?
Resources, time is money. It is like. Because either you need the time to be finding a way to make money, or you need the time to be making that money, or you need the time
to figure out what gotta get creative sometimes
in lieu of making that money. And so, like, time has a different weight. And I'm gonna add to that, like kind of like layer, is that time is also health. And we don't have an infinite amount of hours in the day with, like said previously mentioned, like money thing and economics of life to concentrate on our health or be doing things that are health positive and health first for ourselves, let alone like the next ideal level, which is actually a pleasure filled, happy life. So like, you know, this thing is like a kind of like multi-layered thing of like living and adulting and being in the world, and we all want friends and we all know it's difficult. So, you know, there's all this propaganda that I think has been pushed out throughout like our life course that says it's hard to make friends as adults. I wouldn't believe that. I actually don't think that's true. I think like that's something that's meant to keep us away from each other and interacting and puts all these extra barriers up. But what I will say is time does run differently as an adult. And like, sure, we don't have hours to spend on the playground running around and getting dizzy and tilting our head back on the swing set. And I would love to have like that sensation of like the world turning upside down and like laughing and laughing and laughing with friends. But like that time gets carved away by like the society we live in, the things that we have to take care of. And that's tough, but we all have that. And it should be like a unifying force of what we understand about each other, not something that like causes derision and like causes us to like feel like we can't communicate with each other. It is hard to tell people the truth. It is hard to tell people no. Nobody wants to be that person, you know? But like, if we don't, we're all lying to ourselves. You know, it's like that quintessential like person in the hallway at work that, you know, you say, hi, how are you? But you don't wait for the response. Like that's not real. And like, if you don't mind having a whole bunch of acquaintances in your life and nobody that is real with you, then more power to you. Enjoy that. Like, go for it. I don't think, you know, that's something I want at this juncture in my life. And I don't think it's something that you want. And in order to not have that, you have to be able to say, no, I don't have the time for you. I really hope you don't personalize it, because it's not about you. It's about me. And, you know, there's people who have a critique for everything and say that sounds selfish or whatever. But, like, it's not. And I'm sorry that whoever.
Well, that's probably the person that's listening to this and thinks, oh, this is selfish, is the same person that is on the other end of those text messages, right?
So. True that. But I like this. And I want to, like, you know, the next time we talk, I want to talk about, like, the trickle down of this. Like, why don't we see things and like participate in things that make us feel better about ourselves? Why are we kind of trapped in the pain feedback loop? I think my therapist, my old therapist called it that, the pain feedback loop, where like, you know, we're constantly living in service of our pain rather than in service of like, you know, happy things and empowering things and pleasure in our life. So I think, you know, as the podcast mavens we are, like, I think I'd like to, like, you know, make sure we like explore that thread, because for queer folks especially, look, like, nobody's saying any of this shit is easy. There's a million obstacles and a million things set up to make your life fucking suck. But in lieu of like being able to fix all of those things, you do have power over yourself. You have power over how you manage and handle things in your own life. And like, we can go from there, you know. You have to fill in that, like, those shitty gaps.
And to end this, my final resolution is I'm not allowed to get any more animals until I'm rich, because first of all, I already have 3
right
left, and it's, you know, I love them to fucking death, and the problem is that they die, and it kills my entire fucking life for way too long. And as much as I want to save all of the animals in the fucking world, I also have to make sure that I'm like saving myself in the process. So I lost 4 animals last year. Let's knock on wood that all my babies now survive this year, but they're hamsters. They have a life expectancy of 2 years. One of them has already hit 2 years and 2 months. So let's be honest. Yeah, it's tough. And I need to like remember that it's okay to not save everything in the world and to save myself sometimes. Yeah. 'Cause you know, I need to focus on myself for a little bit. And then I'll have the farm with all the animals and the fucking, you know, save all the hamsters and
absolutely. I mean, it's like we were talking about with health. Like, look, like it's this game is like it's a math game, right? Like if you can't concentrate on yourself and like strategize, we will like be living in survival mode forever, and survival mode is exhausting, you know. And like, there's a whole world of privileged out there that doesn't have to live that way, you know. And like, it's all about trying to play the game to access that as much as possible. Let's be real. Like, fuck you. I want more pleasure than work. Who doesn't? Like, I mean, I don't want to fucking
Struggle I can't sucks. Open like, the hamster rescue in 10 years if I continue adopting hamsters.
How are you going to hamster? How are you going to handle a hamster rescue? You're going to fall in love with like 500 hamsters? Because I give them to other families
before I am deeply embedded in my love for them.
So how long was it?
I don't know. I was pretty torn up about Bun Bun after giving him up for adoption. He died 5 days later, and that fucking... I only had him for 2 months. I fostered him. So like... I cried in the shower today about it. So like, you know, I don't think, yeah, they'd have to be in and out, but I want an animal rescue. That's my life goal, is to open an animal rescue.
Fuck yeah. All right. We have to make that happen.
I just like, I think it would be awesome to like, you know, I have a friend that I call her a friend now. We met through me adopting Orlok from her. And then I adopted all the other babies I got after that. And, you know, over time I've grown to like be friends with her, and that was like her life goal was to open, and she just opened officially under like, she like made it a business, and she has a small animal rescue. And last year she rescued 228 fucking animals or something like that. 200 something animals. That's just, I don't know. I fucking love that. And,
yeah, I was thinking that out here with like farm animals and shit.
I mean, we could do both. Right. 'Cause the thing is unfortunately, like with the way that animal mills are run still for pet stores, there's always going to be small animals that need to be adopted or need to be rescued from really bad scenarios. You know, like I got Popeye and Dusty because they were like going to be thrown out.
Yeah.
Like in the trash. Like, you know, I took Kona because her mom was allergic to her, you know? Mm-hmm. And so like, there's always going to be animals that need rescuing, and people don't think about tiny animals. They just give them to snakes to eat. And like, that's not what they're bred for. Like, that's not, no. Well, like, what are we talking about here? So I digress. Happy fucking. I don't, this convo went all over the place, huh? But now you get a little piece of Felicia and not just like the, suck my dick, you know?
That's good. Like, look, like it's our own like way to check in and say, hey, you know, this has been a year, and because it's been a year, there's a lot of evaluating going on, and I think that's important. Like, you know, maybe some of it will improve, maybe some of it won't, but like, you gotta keep trying, right? You know, like,
sure do.
And you know, I feel good. My spirituality is kicking in now. I feel good about that. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it. I feel it's going to be a good one.
I feel like this year will be better than last, and that's all that matters, right? You just have to move forward and onward and upward and try your hardest to navigate this game called life. And on that note, everybody, we hope you have a happy and healthy January.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Tune in to the next episode of The Screw, where maybe we'll actually talk about sex. I don't fucking know.
No, we're totally going to, because like I have like a whole thread from this now that like I want to go into it. Like, I got some shit to say. We haven't
chatted. You want to penetrate that shit.
I want to penetrate the sex conversation because we haven't chatted about it in a while. And I have some like new insights, I think, that I want to like
sweet. Dig into. I like a new dick insight. All right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Follow us online. Or no, it doesn't matter because you still listen anyways. And that's why we fucking love you. Okay, bye.
So good. Bye.